Thank you for firing up the Sunrise Church podcast. My name is Steve Garcia, and I am the lead pastor at Sunrise. We are a community of Jesus followers from all walks of life, all colors of skin, and all ages. And I hope this message you hear today inspires you to deepen your connection with Christ. Let's dive in. Well, I want to welcome you to the online campus of Sunrise Church. My name is Steve Garcia. I'm the lead pastor here, and we are so glad that you are here with us, worshiping wherever you are watching this message right now. I want to tell you about a fictional woman named Kay. Kay is a brilliant lady. All her life, she was a sponge for learning, and when she became a Christian, that only went in fast forward. She's since read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. She just loves to learn. But over time, Kay started to grow frustrated with her church service. She just felt like it wasn't deep enough. So she wrote her own Bible study curriculum, which she entitled Deeper, and invited ladies to come and be a part of her really intensive Bible study. Kay quickly developed a reputation for being a really smart woman, but also very contentious. She often spoke negatively about her church and other church members, and the women who weren't able to complete her study, calling them shallow wannabe Christians. I also want to tell you about a fictional person named Ray. Ray was the life of the party. Ray is somebody who grew up in church and is a great guy to be around. He's fun. He's easy to have a conversation with. Whenever Ray shows up at your small group, the time together is always better. Ray is just a great person to be around, but Ray also flakes out a lot too. Ray makes a lot of plans with people, and then it always seems that at the last second there's a schedule conflict and he has to cancel. Ray is rarely on time, and every 2 years, Ray changes jobs, and he always has a really compelling story as to why this latest job change was necessary. These two people, Kay and Ray, exist on some level inside all of us. See, Kay believes that what you do is more important than who you are. This is why she values teaching others well over treating others well. Ray believes who you are is more important than what you do. Ray loves people. Ray loves to be around people, but he also dodges responsibility. So which one of them is right? Which is more important? What you do, or who you are? Well, I think you know the answer to this question. The answer is both. And this is also true when it comes to a biblical perspective on work. What you do is equally as important as who you are. Today we continue in a message series called Get to Work. It's all about integrating our faith with the kinds of work that God has entrusted with us. We began the series by talking about how God created humanity to work. He made us to create and cultivate and help the world flourish for the common good of everyone. But when sin entered the world, it stained all of that. And it transformed our work into toil. But the command still stands that even in this broken world, we're still called to create and cultivate and flourish the world for the common good of all. So today, we're going to talk about the role of the Christian in the workplace. I'm entitling this message, Faith at Work. So whether you have a full-time job that you get paid for, or a full-time job that you don't get paid for, whether you are employed or unemployed, whether you are a retiree, a CEO, or a stay-at-home parent, we all got work to do. And we need to make sure we're honoring Christ with that work. So today, we're going to dig into the words of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 3. So find a Bible and turn in your Bible or turn on your Bible to Colossians 3. Our author, the Apostle Paul, wrote this book while he was imprisoned in Rome. He was arrested for living out his faith in a hostile world. And so he wrote this letter to Christians living in what is now modern-day Turkey as an encouragement for them to also live out their faith. Let's read along together. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This chapter begins with Paul challenging Christians everywhere to adopt a heavenly perspective. Now, he affirmed that someday Jesus is coming back and all who have committed their life to him have heaven to look forward to. But he's also warning them, saying, but don't lose sight of today. Don't get pulled off course. Don't lose sight of what matters in our day-to-day lives. We have to make sure we are continuing to set our hearts and minds on the things above, that our faith ought to impact our everyday lives. Paul had an interesting audience he was writing to. On one side of the spectrum were Jewish believers. And they said that a real Christian is somebody who adopts all of the Jewish rituals and traditions. For them, their faith was external, but not always internal. They believed that what you do is more important than who you are. On the other side of the spectrum were non-Jewish believers. And they had grown up worshiping the pantheon of Greek gods and simply added Jesus to the menu. They were religious, but Jesus really didn't impact the way they behaved on a day-to-day basis. They believed who you are is more important than what you do. And so over the next 13 verses, the Apostle Paul challenged both sides, hey, we got to shed all of those old behaviors, all the ways you used to live before you came to Christ, and start living in such a way where you can show the world how Jesus changed you. And then he said this in verse 17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Key phrase, in word or in deed. The external and the internal. What you do and who you are. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if you are a follower of Christ, you represent the name of Jesus. You speak and act on behalf of Jesus Christ. And he said that for everyone, give thanks to God the Father through him. And this is a reminder to Christians then and ultimately to Christians today that in everything we do, we always have something to give thanks for. Because whatever problem stands in front of you, we need to remember that Jesus already took care of our biggest problem, which was forgiving the sin that separated us from a holy God. So whatever other problem you have standing in front of you is just peanuts compared to that. And so the Apostle Paul was really wanting believers to make sure that their faith permeated every aspect of their lives. So first he started with our personal lives, and then he shifted it to the home. Let's continue to read. Verse 18, he gave four commands. "Wives, submit yourselves to husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." So again, the Apostle Paul wanted to see faith challenge the way people were living. Now, back in this time, the Roman way of life was so dominant in the world. And that way of life was where the father was the king and his family were the subjects. And so nobody challenged this. This was just how it was. But then Paul came along and said, hang on, your faith should challenge that. And so he said, wives, show to the world how Jesus changed you by respecting your husbands. Husbands, show to the world how Jesus changed you by stop acting like a dictator and start loving your wife with gentleness and care. Children, show to the world how Jesus changed you by actually listening to your parents. Then he circled back again to fathers and said, fathers, show to the world how Jesus changed you by building your children up, not tearing them down. So many Christians seem to separate the sphere of work from the rest of their faith. Said, yeah, you know, faith in Jesus ought to influence my private life. Yeah, faith in Jesus ought to influence my family life. But Jesus doesn't get to come to work with me. For many Christians, What they would say is, hey, I'm a full-time worker, but only a part-time Christian. You know, if we live a typical lifespan, then the largest percentage of our life will most likely be spent working. We get 18 years to grow up, and then another 47 years to work until we're eligible for retirement. Work plays such a massive and critical part of our lives. And work is necessary for meeting physical needs, like food and shelter. But work is also necessary for meeting emotional and spiritual needs. When we have a healthy biblical view of work, it could help bring significance and dignity and purpose to our lives. So when Paul said that in all things we ought to do it in the name of Jesus, shouldn't that also include our work? How can we honor Christ with the work that he's given us? Well, I want to give a formula that I hope is helpful to you. If you're taking notes, jot this down. The formula for Christ honoring work is this: integrity plus quality equals godly. Integrity plus quality equals godly. Now, some of you cringe when you hear the word formula. You know, there's no such thing as a formula when it comes to following Jesus. Okay, fine. Call it a wisdom principle or a best practice. But the key focus is this. One of the best ways to be godly with your work is when you marry integrity with quality. So let's break this down in a little more detail, starting with integrity. What is integrity? Well, integrity comes from the root word integer. And all you math enthusiasts know exactly what an integer is. And I'm going to assume that the majority of us are math enthusiasts, right? Not exactly. Did you know that 5 out of 3 people are bad at math? So the math lovers know what an integer is. An integer is a whole number. It's not a decimal, it's not a fraction. It's something that is whole. The word integrate also comes from the same root word. To integrate means when you take all of the pieces and form one whole. So integrity is when someone chooses to not segment their life, but to bring it all together as a whole. Christian integrity means that Jesus is not just a part of your life, but that he's central to your life. So what does it look like to work with integrity? Let's again look at the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3, verse 22. He says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." Now, over the years, some have taken this passage to try to justify enslaving others. Such people conveniently leave out Paul's words just a few verses later in 4:1 when he says, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." Yeah, leave that one out. But the purpose of this verse was never to justify slavery, but to give us some insight on how to work with integrity. And Paul's command to Christian slaves was to work with integrity, not just when the master sees you, but when the master doesn't see you. The modern day equivalent for this is that when you work, you should do the tasks that have been assigned to you, not just when the boss is watching, but when the boss is also not watching, because Christ is watching. That means that when your boss gives you the green light to work remotely, that you're not going to the gym or shopping or catching up on your favorite Netflix shows while you're still on the clock. That means when it's time to turn your time card in at the end of the week, you're not lying about your hours. That means that you never take money or food or office supplies for your personal use, even though everyone else on the job does it. These are just a few examples of living with integrity. You know, earlier on in this passage, Paul listed off a couple of examples of the kinds of sins that Christians ought to shed. Let's look at his words in Colossians 3:7. He said, "You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." Does that sound like you on the workplace? Anger, rage, malice. How are you doing in this area? How are you doing with integrity in your work? Do you have anger, rage, and malice as a part of your everyday life? How did you respond when that other guy got the promotion? How did you treat that coworker when they made an honest mistake? How did you talk to your kid's teacher when your child had an issue? You know, I've told this story before. Years ago, I was picking up my son from school and he had gotten in trouble and I didn't quite understand it. So I just decided to pop into the classroom and just ask the teacher to explain it to me. And we were having a calm conversation. I was just asking a few questions and all of a sudden she snapped on me, started yelling, then walked out of the room and said, "If you got a problem, go talk to the principal." I said, "Oh, I will." And so I marched over to the principal and now I'm fired up. Now I'm pacing around outside the principal's office waiting for her to get off the phone and I'm picturing in my mind how this conversation is gonna go. Have you ever done that? Yeah. I'm gonna say this and then she's gonna say this and then I'm gonna say this and then her jaw's gonna drop open and she's gonna say, "I never thought about that. I'm sorry." And I'm gonna go, "Yeah, exactly." And it never goes that way, does it? And so I'm fuming and I'm getting myself ready for this heated conversation. And as I'm pacing around outside her office like a crazy person, the administrative assistant says to me, "The principal will be ready for you soon. And also, by the way, great sermon on Sunday, Pastor Steve." So as it turns out, my kid's principal's administrative assistant attended my church and heard me preach. And if she didn't say that in that moment, I might have walked into the principal's office and represented Jesus poorly by speaking out of anger, rage, or malice. That's not integrity. Paul continued in verse 8. He says, "Get rid of all such things like anger, rage, malice." Here's two more. "Slander and filthy language from your lips." How do you talk about the boss after they walk out of the room? How do you talk about those coworkers when they walk out of the room? How's your language? How's your language when you're on the construction site or out with coworkers on a Friday evening? Are you living with integrity? Here's why integrity is so important. Because others are watching you, and they're going to form an opinion about Christ, Christians, and the church based on how you live. And here's what's so interesting about coworkers is that you spend more time with them than most people outside of your family. And some of you are in jobs where you spend more time with your coworkers than you do with your family. These are people who are going to see you every single day. What kind of person do you want to be? Because when you cut corners and when you lie about your hours and when you gossip about coworkers, you portray an image of Christ to people that he doesn't really impact my life and therefore he's not very important. And alternatively, when you show up on time, when you do your job, when you treat others with kindness and you deal with conflict in a calm way that's fair, you also portray an image of Christ to people that says, "Jesus isn't just a part of my life, he's central to my life." Paul said, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." People are watching you. Make sure you conduct yourself with integrity. The formula for Christ-honoring work is integrity plus quality equals godly. So let's talk about quality for a moment. What is quality? Quality is doing your job with excellence. Or another way to say it is, a great way to represent Christ is to be great at your job. Again, let's turn to the Apostle Paul's words in Colossians 3, verse 23. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Paul's challenge to believers then, and ultimately to you and I now, is to do your job well. His exact words were, "Work at it with all your heart." How are you doing in this area? Are you giving it your all? Or are you doing the bare minimum? You always have to be asked what to do next. Go above and beyond. Give it your best. How do you typically feel when you receive great customer service? You remember that first time you were sitting in Chick-fil-A and some 16-year-old employee walked up to you and said, "Hey, can I refresh your drink?" You're like, Yeah, sure. And they come back with a full cup of Diet Coke and some extra dipping sauces because they noticed you were running low. You're like, wow, thank you. You remember that first auto mechanic who quoted you $2,000 and the second auto mechanic who fixed your car for $200 because they want to take care of their customers and they don't want to rip them off? Do you remember how you acted? You grabbed him and hugged him. Don't ever leave me. Do you remember how you felt about that doctor who had great bedside manner? Or that coach who encouraged your kid after they messed up in the game? Or that first responder who ran to your aid while everyone else was running away? You see, typically, when we receive great service, we want to tell others about it. You got to go to this restaurant. You got to go see this person. Go talk to him or her. They will take good care of you. Such people represent their companies well. But the Apostle Paul was saying, we have something so much more important than a company or a product or a brand. Look at what he said. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. When we view our jobs as Christ is our boss, wouldn't that motivate you to give it your all? Your work matters to God. It ought to matter to you too. The great Martin Luther King Jr. once said this, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Are you doing your job well? Are you working with quality? You know, one of the saddest things I heard on this subject was this past week at our preaching team meeting. One of our preaching pastors said, you know, he said, I've gotten to the point where when I see that little Christian fish next to someone's business, I just immediately keep looking because I assume that the type of work I'm going to get will be really poor based on past experience. That's sad. That Christian fish ought to indicate to somebody, you're not going to receive the worst job, you're going to receive the best job. Because I work for Christ. I want to please him. And at the end of the day, that's the boss we ought to please. We ought to give it our best. We ought to do our jobs with quality. We often get this imbalanced, don't we? Some of us are really strong with integrity, but not so much with quality. He's a great guy. He's kind. He's nice. He loves the Lord. But his food is nasty. It's bland. It's undercooked, it's overpriced, I'm not going there again. Great lady, great mom, great friend, great woman of the Lord, but she's a lousy accountant. The numbers never add up and she doesn't even know how to use Excel. Some of us are really great with quality, but not so much when it comes to integrity. Now, she's the best designer we got, but she will rip your head off if you don't agree with her. Now, he always gets results in his job, but he steps on a whole lot of people to get there. If you want to honor Christ with your work, we have to marry both integrity and quality. When it comes to a biblical view of work, what you do is equally important as who you are. Quality plus integrity equals godly. You see, when you open up the Bible and examine the tenets of the Christian faith, you will find that the biblical perspective on work is very different than our cultural perspective on work. All of this stems from the person of Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate embodiment of integrity and quality. Jesus treated every single person that he came in contact with love and dignity, whether they were an outcast, an invalid, a professional, or a deviant. He conducted himself with impeccable integrity. And how did he do with the quality of his job? Well, his trade was a carpenter, but his ultimate job was to seek and to save the lost. How did he do with that? He died for it. In fact, his final words on the cross were, "It is finished." See, Jesus lived his whole life in a sinless manner. And then he traded this life for ours, When he laid his life down on the cross, his sinless life, he took all of the sins of the world, past, present, and future, and he put them on himself. And when he died, he took those sins into the grave, so that when you and I place our faith in Jesus, all of our sins go with him into the grave. And when he rose back to life, he provides you and I with new life that is freed from the power of sin, new life that is freed from the anxiety of death, new life of walking with Jesus every single day. Talk about going above and beyond. This is who Jesus Christ is. Do you know him? Not just know about him, but do you know him personally? Have you ever intentionally prayed to Jesus and asked him to come into your life and be your God? Maybe you've been around church or other Christians, but you never prayed this for yourself. Well, let's let today be that day. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you could repeat after me. And it's just a simple prayer of confessing your sins to Jesus, believing in faith that he's the Son of God who died in your place, and committing your life to him, asking him to help you live his way. So if you've never prayed a prayer like this, then let's do it right now. I'll give you the words, but you have to pray them in faith. So repeat after me right now as we pray. Jesus, today I place my faith in you. Come on, wherever you are watching this or listening to this, pray that right to him. Jesus, today I place my faith in you. I believe you died on a cross and rose again so that you could have a relationship with someone like me. I confess my sins to you, and I ask that you forgive me. Make me clean. Today, I commit to you my life. Today, I choose to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, if you prayed those words today and truly meant them, then I want to welcome you to the family of God. You now have Jesus living inside of you to help you through every challenge that life throws your way. And so if you prayed that prayer, let us know about it. If you're watching this on YouTube or Facebook, write in the comments, "Today I said yes to Jesus." If you're watching this on sunrisechurch.org, click on the little button and get those hands up. Today, I committed my life to Christ, and we want to celebrate with you. Another way to do this is to text the word NEXT to 909-281-7797. You'll receive a message back, and one of those options is to click on "I said yes to Jesus." For everyone else, this is a great next step to deepen your commitment to Christ. Text NEXT to 909-281-7797. This is a great way to join a small group. Rooted starts this week. Or maybe you want to find a place to volunteer or just link up with someone one-to-one. Text NEXT to 909-281-7797. Don't stop here. Keep going. Friends, all of us are called to integrate our faith with our work, to represent Jesus in every sphere of our lives. And some of you have jobs where you are expressly forbidden of talking about Jesus during work hours. So your opportunity may come after hours. So what do you do in the meantime? You conduct yourself with integrity and quality so that you could represent Christ well. Because if you don't do your job with integrity and you don't do your job with quality, you actually hinder the message of the gospel. Remember the Apostle Paul's words in Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Conduct yourself with integrity. Don't get caught up in the crass talk, the demeaning of women, gossiping about coworkers, but instead go about your business with honesty, purity, and humility. And do your job with excellence. Do it with quality. Don't give a half-hearted, lifeless effort. Go above and beyond. Work at it with all your heart. Represent Jesus in by doing such a great job that maybe someone will ask you, why do you do what you do? Friends, we represent something that is so much more important than a company or a product or a brand. We get to represent the living, loving Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So let's represent Him well, especially when it comes to our work. Amen? Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you to not just stop here. Maybe you sense God is speaking to you today and wanting you to take that next step. So here's two ways you can do just that. The first is text the word next to the number 909-281-7797. That's 909-281-7797. And you'll receive a message back with some ways to help you grow. That may mean joining a small group or finding a place to serve or just talking with someone one-to-one about your faith. You can also visit the notes for this podcast and follow the links provided. And if you're within driving distance of one of our four physical locations in Banning, Ontario, Rialto, or Victorville, we'd love for you to stop by sometime and give us a chance to meet you personally. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.